Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
Is there anybody here that maybe thinks the Christian life is sort of a name it and claim it, it's all about you and me getting what we want? Or have you realized that sometimes there is a God in heaven who knows better what we need than we really know? I need to stop complaining about where I live and who I live with and where I work. And I need to stop complaining about what's going on in my life. And I need to learn to say what Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Continuing Through Prayer.
We can talk to God every single moment of every single day, for the Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it is the man Christ Jesus. That is to say, Jesus is our mediator. He is the one that carries our prayers and makes the availability and the way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? Because when Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, the temple veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and Jesus has made a way for us to come directly to God in prayer. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? So when you see Jesus in the garden talking so freely to the Father, just remember that because Jesus came down, we can talk freely to the Father. A missionary friend was talking to a lady one day and trying to help her understand the emphasis of Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 4 about coming boldly to the Lord and coming directly to Him. And she said, oh no, she said, I pray to Mary every day. And she said, Mary's very close to God and Mary takes my prayers up to God. And she had been taught these things, which are very, very untrue and unbiblical. And the missionary so wanted her to understand that you don't pray to statues and you don't pray to Mary. It never one time in the Bible says to pray to Mary. He wanted her to know that she could go directly to God. And so he said to the dear lady, he said, ma'am, let me ask you, if you were sick, would you call the doctor or the doctor's mother? And she thought about that for a moment. How many of you are glad to know this morning that you can go directly to God in heaven with your prayers? You don't have to go through a mediator. You don't have to go through a church or a prayer booth. You can come directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came directly to the Father, and then he came with a very specific request. Notice it says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. This word remove is interesting. It means lead me around it, Lord. Help me, Lord, that I would not have to go this way. As if there was a great obstruction or a large fallen boulder in the middle of the rock, somehow in the middle of the road, Lord, help me around this. Take this cup from me. Now, folks, you've got to remember something about the word cup. The word cup often in the Bible represents wrath. And I want you to know what the cross today, it represents many things for us. It represents love and freedom and forgiveness. But for Jesus, the cross represented your sin, my sin, and the wrath of Almighty God. When he said, let this cup pass from me, what was Jesus thinking about? You see, Isaiah 51:17 says, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. You see, Jesus knew that the cross represented more than just the physical pain of the nails and the thorns and the spear, more than just the humiliation of the sponge to his mouth and the soldiers gambling for his garments. Jesus knew that going to the cross meant he would bear our sin, and all of us are sinners. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, he, Jesus, became sin for us who knew no sin. We know sin, but Jesus knew no sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. The only way that I could be declared right, the only way that I could be declared righteous is if the payment for my sin was paid. And the payment for my sin was paid when Jesus took the wrath of God upon him. The wrath that should have come on me. The wrath that I should experience for all of eternity in a place called hell. That wrath that I deserve, Jesus took it upon the cross. When Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew what was in that cup. He knew the wrath of God would come upon him. He knew my sin would come upon him. He knew the hatred of the world would be given toward him. He knew the name of Jesus would be taken in vain where you work and by some of you before you were saved. And he knew the hatred that would come toward him. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup of pain, the cup of sin, the cup of hatred, the cup of wrath, Jesus said, let it pass from me. That was his request. But then I want you to notice his surrender. Because look at the next part of the verse. It says, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Would you say that with me? Nevertheless, not my will, but nevertheless, not my will, he says, but thine be done. In Mark, he says it this way, chapter 14, verse 36, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This is how God calls us to pray in 1 John 5:14, that we can have confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Jesus said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And so here we see Jesus saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass for me. Let me go around this cup of hatred, this cup of wrath. If it be possible, Father, remove this from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Is there anybody here this morning that has difficulty coming to the nevertheless not my will part of the Christian life? Is there anybody here that maybe thinks the Christian life is sort of a name it and claim it, it's all about you and me getting what we want? Or have you realized that sometimes there is a God in heaven who knows better what we need than we really know? And Jesus says, not what I want, but what you want. Paul the apostle had to learn that, didn't he? Three times he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, please remove this infirmity from me. Most scholars felt it was a disease of his eyes. Lord, remove this from me. Lord, remove this from me. Lord, remove this from me. And yet Jesus spoke to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul said, Lord, could you remove this from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, if I can be a better Christian, if I can know your power through this difficulty in my life, then not my will, Lord. You know what you're doing. You know better what you're doing than I do. So not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Jesus teaches us that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul teaches us this principle in 2 Corinthians. But how many this morning would say, I need to learn that principle in my life? I need to stop complaining about where I live and who I live with and where I work. And I need to stop complaining about what's going on in my life. And I need to learn to say what Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. The priority of his prayer, notice he had a favored place. The purpose of his prayer, to beseech the Father. But then notice finally this morning, the passion of his prayer. the passion of his prayer. Verse 43, please. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And he being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. I do not know that I can adequately speak to you this morning about the agony that Jesus felt. I do not know the overwhelming sense, the overwhelming burden that came upon Jesus when he, in his foreknowledge, saw the sins of this world coming upon him personally. I can tell you that it was so great and that it was so overwhelming that according to the Bible, an angel from heaven came to visit with him and came literally to support him. And don't misunderstand for a moment, my friend. Jesus, the entire time he approached the cross of Calvary, never ceased being God. He was 100% God and 100% man. But here we have a picture of his humanity in that an angel was sent to sustain and to support the Lord Jesus Christ, and to strengthen him. Psalm 91 and verse 11, it was prophesied, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear him up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Angels are God's ministers and God's messengers. And at this moment, the Father sent an angel as a messenger, as a minister. I want you to notice here the passion of Jesus, first of all, by his emotional agony. The Bible says in verse 44, he being in agony. Mark 14, 34, he saith, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And by the way, I just want to pause to say, I'm thankful this morning that I have a Savior who knows what agony and emotion and pain is all about. I'm thankful that I have a personal Savior to whom I can speak and who feels and who understands. In your notes there, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but has in all points been tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you catch that? Jesus is the high priest. We are just believer priests. We can offer our offerings and we can sing and we can worship, and all of this is pleasing to God, but he is the high priest and he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Lord, would you help me in this moment of pain? He understands pain. But Father, Lord Jesus, this anxiousness that I'm sensing about tomorrow. And Jesus says, I remember in the garden before Calvary. I feel that. And I love you in that time. And I want to give you grace in that time. I'm thankful that I serve a Savior who knows the feelings of my infirmities. He had emotional agony, but I want you to see concerning his passion, the physical pain. As we close this morning, I want you to notice in verse 44, and he being in agony prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were, notice this, great drops of blood. The words great drops come from the Greek thrombos. It literally means a large, thick, clotted portion of blood. One doctor says cases sometimes happen in which through mental pressure the pores may be so dilated that the blood may be issued from them so that there may be a bloody sweat. I mean, the Lord Jesus had such agony that as he prayed, the capillaries in his forehead literally bursted to the point that now the very first drops of our atoning blood are being shed even there in the Garden of Gethsemane, even before the nails were put into his hands. Jesus is now suffering with the very thought of the wrath of God coming upon him for the atonement of our sin. He was suffering a rejecting pain, for the Bible says he was despised and rejected of men. He was about to to hear them as they mocked him and as they jeered him. He was about to feel the sense of rejection and separation even from the Father. For in Mark 15 and verse 34, in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For in the very first time since all of eternity past, now the separation of fellowship would come between the Son and the Father. For as Jesus hung upon the cross, the temple veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and the skies darkened throughout that portion of the world. And as the skies were darkened, the Father could no longer look upon his Son. For the Father cannot look upon your sin and my sin. And as Jesus bore the sin, the sky was darkened, and there was the separation that Jesus felt. It was a rejecting pain that he felt within him. Have you ever gone through a time of separation? Have you ever been rejected by someone that you love? Jesus knows all about our troubles. It was a rejecting pain. Furthermore, it was a redemptive pain. For he died there to pay the price for my sin and yours. You see, it costs more to redeem us than it did to create us. In creation, there was simply the speaking of the word, but in redemption, there is the shedding of the blood. And the Bible says in 1 John 2 and 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The propitiation means a covering. That is to say that when Jesus shed his blood, that blood became the covering of sin for the entire world. You say, well, there's not enough blood in one man's body to cover physically every man in the entire world. Oh, listen, my friend, we're not here today to advocate that silly concept. We are here today to say that by the power and the miraculous truth of God, that the blood that was shed at Calvary still is efficacious. It's still available. It still works today, for there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That is to say that any man, woman, boy, or girl in this auditorium today who would cry out to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I turn to you exclusively to be the covering for my sin, that if you would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be saved today. Your sins would be separated as far as the east is from the west, and you would not receive the wrath of God at the end of this life, but you would receive the mercy of God, an invitation to heaven for all of eternity because of the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, by those wounds, by that blood that was shed, we are healed spiritually with those stripes. The Lord Jesus went to Pontius Pilate, somehow to appease the crowd, perhaps he thought, well, if I'll turn him over to the soldiers for a beating, maybe that will appease the crowd. And so after the blood in Gethsemane, now 39 times Jesus felt the cat of nine tails. That leather strap with fragments of metal throughout, 39 times that went around the back of Jesus Christ, separating the skin from his body and revealing perhaps the bones and sinew of his physique. And the Lord Jesus began suffering after the time of that beating. They took the crown, so-called crown of thorns, and these thorns were placed into the brow of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood that began to flow, even in Gethsemane, the blood that was flowing at the Antonio Fortress, now the crown of thorns placed upon his brow. And then the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up to the hill of Golgotha, and there the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands and through his feet and suspended him up into the air upon that cross. And it was only as he somehow thrust himself up on the cross that he could find air to breathe. And then it was only as he thrust himself again that he could exhale. And it was through this process of lifting and dropping that he breathed. But through all of that, the sinew and ligaments were torn again and again, and the nerve endings and the pain that came through his body and the blood that was being shed. And finally, 6 hours through the torment, there was no need to break his legs as other criminals would give their death in that way. But the Bible had prophesied not a bone of him would be broken. And after the sixth hour, the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Jesus Christ paid the debt that you owed. Jesus Christ shed the blood that you could not shed. Jesus Christ made a way where you had no way, and it's the way of the cross. And I'm telling you, it's a redeeming love. And Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter said, I want to remind you, you're not saved. You're not redeemed by silver and by gold. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't join the church to get to heaven. You can't do good works to go to heaven. You're not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb that was without spot and without blemish. That's why when the choir sang, worthy is the Lamb, anybody who understands the Bible ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did at Calvary. Worthy is the Lamb. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. We're redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus bore the wrath of God for your sin. Jesus paid the price. You know, in a forest fire, and we have those in California, we pray for rain and then the bushes grow, and then in the summer they catch on fire. And in the forest fires, there's really only one place where the fire cannot reach you and where the fire cannot burn you. And that is the place where the fire has already burned itself out. That's the place of safety in the forest fire. You want to be in the area where the fire has already burned itself out. And I want you to recognize this morning that when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, that Jesus Christ there at Calvary suffered the wrath of God on your behalf and mine. Jesus at Calvary, in that bitter cup that he took there, suffered the fiery wrath of God for you and for me. And I want you to recognize this morning, the only place that you can find forgiveness and the only place that you can find safety for your soul is to go to that place where the judgment of God has burned itself out completely. It's only one place, and that's the place of the cross. And kneel at the cross and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and recognize the fiery judgment of God burned there. And now there's safety in this place called the cross of Calvary. And the ground is level at the cross to all who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, on one side is danger. On the other side is safety. The judgment of God burned at the cross so that you might be saved. My friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today? You don't want to face God the Father without having put your faith in God the Son. For God the Son came down to bear your sin and mine, and to bear the wrath of his own Father, and to be separated from the Father so that we could have a way of salvation. You're not the way. I'm not the way. This church is not the way. Good works is not the way. Politics is not the way. Jesus is the way. If you know that in your heart, why don't you tell somebody about it this week? And if you don't know in your heart that you're in the safe place, then come to Jesus and be saved and be safe today.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.